Mini episode 294 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by TV Howl, your home on the web for coverage of today's television scene and a look at the history of the medium as covered by big-time TV critic Adam Buckman. Follow them on the web at tvhowl.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. It's Rick Morris and Kyle Ross talking football once again in the FDH Lounge, just as we did through all of the last two football seasons. We're going to be previewing the AFC right here. I just want to let everybody know that we're going to do this where we're going to hit the entire AFC in one preview for reasons that Kyle can lay out here in a moment. This is going to correspond because we did early 2013 previews / 2012 recaps of all of the divisions after the last year. Go ahead and correspond to this if you want to check out what we had to say then, because this is sort of the second half of all of that analysis. AFC East was number 252, AFC North 253, AFC South 255, AFC West 256. And spoiler alert, I don't have much to say different than what I did then. So I don't mean to be repetitive, but I have a lot of the same opinions. Kyle, I know yours have been a little bit more flux.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, between that time, we did those, like, February, March-ish. It was before the draft. It was before a lot of free agents. It was before, you know, you can crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
And I don't think, overall, my opinions have changed too much.
Okay.
But it's really nice. I mean, certainly, you know, a guy like me loves to look at the Vegas odds. Those weren't out at the time.
Right.
And you can take a look at the Vegas over-unders for the win totals, take a look at some other stuff. You know, a lot of the previews are out now. I always like to say, I'm one of these guys, I'm not rigid. I like to read other people's opinions.
Yeah,
if somebody really, really likes something, I'll think twice about a team. Maybe, oh, okay, maybe it's interesting. Or on the flip side, if somebody comes out like, man, this team is going to stink.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, let me look into this. And in some cases, you have that. I don't think, grand scheme of things, there's anything that I've totally changed my mind on for this season. But I feel a lot more convinced of some things, and the number one thing I'm most convinced of, it's funny, we're now two commissioners removed from the late, great Pete Rozelle.
Mm-hmm.
His dream of parity has been achieved in the NFL, and we brought this up in previous previews.
Sincerely, the Vikings in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's just more so than that, than just teams being able to come from nowhere, and there will be instances of that this year, I'm sure. Some that we accurately predict, some we don't. I have every team except one slotted between 5 and 11 and 11 and 5. I just don't see a group of great teams. You know, obviously your New England's, your Denver's, your San Francisco's, your Seattle's are going to be very good, probably the class of the league, but I don't think they're overwhelmingly dominant. And consequently, you know, everyone kind of thinks your Oakland's and your Jacksonville's really stink, but I don't think they may, in terms of one loss record, stink as much as you might think they're going to. It's not that easy. We're going to run through some stats here.
Right.
That'll be good to help you bet some things. Obviously, we'll be doing the week-by-week stuff that went over so well last year.
Yep.
And we'll set the tone if you're looking to bet, you know, NFL over-unders sometime here in the next couple weeks, or just you kind of want to get a read on your favorite team. I'm really confident. I'm even confident looking ahead to next season, not just this upcoming season, but 2014. I'm even kind of, you know, looking ahead, okay, you know, to the future. I'm buying into some of these teams for multiple years. Some teams, I'm like, okay, this could be their last trip.
You want to know where they're at on their trajectory. That's a good point.
Yeah, I really do. You know, there's some teams, for instance, that I like this year, but not so much long term.
Mm-hmm.
There's some teams that I'm like, yeah, so-so this year, but for the future they'll be okay. So it's going to be good. And what, you know, you referenced this at the top, that for the AFC, usually what we do is we go division by division.
Yeah.
But to me, when you read through the previews and having talked to you beforehand, I think there's almost a universal agreement in who the four division winners are going to be in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start there, and then I wanted to go all the way down to the bottom, because I think there's a lot of unanimous agreement who the bad teams are going to be in the AFC.
Yes.
But to me, the real lack of a term, fun is who are the wild cards going to be? As you know, and I brought references several times last year, and it held true, every year since the current playoff format was instituted, six teams per conference with the two byes, you at least have four new playoff entrants every year.
Right.
At least four. And it was four last year.
It's usually more than that.
It's usually, yeah, I mean, it's usually, you know, five or six. Usually it's about half of them switch out. But last year was only four. You know, the Redskins were new into the playoffs. The Vikings were new.
Colts.
The Seahawks. And I guess those might have been the four.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to think real quick. Yeah, I think those are it.
Yeah.
And so because of that, you know, I've been racking my brain with the AFC, and, you know, that's caused me to make some maybe different predictions that I thought that would hold true when we last spoke.
So. Well, and this is a good thought on your part for formatting it this way. It'll keep it from being too repetitive from what we did before because, again, like you said, the really good teams, the really piss-poor teams, pretty obvious.
But
of the four, I would say four to consensus division winners. Well, let me pose the question to you. Who do you think is the one probably getting picked the least of the four?
Well, first of all, let's just clarify. Okay. In case if anyone listened or if anyone just is kind of in the dark and doesn't know. It's safe to say that the majority of publications you read or podcasts you listen to will have New England in the east, Cincinnati in the north, Houston in the south, Denver in the west.
Right.
New England and Denver are going to be the two favorites because they're New England and Denver. Denver obviously had the big jump up to 13-3 last year. They have Peyton Manning. New England is New England. I know that, you know, they're going to probably, well, they'll certainly be without one of their two tight ends from last year for about 25 to life, it sounds like, you know. But, and then Gronk is obviously injured and may miss the start of the season. But to answer your question, I don't know. It's kind of Cincinnati is probably the least unanimous of the four.
Because of the Steelers,
because
I would
of
think.
This, and this just in, the Ravens won the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah,
now, you and I were
everybody's writing them off as far as winning the division again, and I think justifiably so because they've lost so much. It requires a little bit of a leap of faith with the Bengals just because Andy Dalton, we've seen questions about him in the playoffs and everything like that. But to see them winning the division, I think, I mean, I agree with it. I got them winning the division by two games. By the way, all of my picks, you can check them out, the win totals, Fantasy Football Draftology at FantasyDraftHelp.com.
Maybe I'll send mine over to you, too, after the show.
All right, page 14, actually, is where you can find my things in there. It doesn't have my byline on it, but those are my picks, kids.
Okay, so it's funny, and by the way, a thing with Baltimore, too. Remember last year, I think we were in agreement. I know I picked them not to make the playoffs, but the Giants, you know, were the Super Bowl champions 2 years ago. And I said, yeah, they're, you know what, they were kind of a fluky, get hot in the playoffs team, and I don't think they're going to repeat it. And I could see the Ravens
following suit. I had Baltimore, I think, winning the division last year.
Yeah, you were bigger on Baltimore, I know. Baltimore, I did not have making the playoffs.
Right.
I was cold on Baltimore all the way throughout.
You were a year early.
Yeah.
Because basically, you were at where Baltimore is this year.
Yeah, but looking at the four teams that everyone thinks can win the division, New England. Yes, Tom Brady has lost his, I believe, it's either five or six top pass catchers from a year ago. But he's never really had great receivers anyway. You always get the fact that, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough to tell because Welker went to Denver,
right,
where he's going to have another great, all-time great quarterback. But, you know, would Wes Welker have been Wes Welker without Tom Brady? I don't think so. But, and he had Randy Moss basically the one awesome year.
Right. By the way, hat tip to Ben Chu and the 21st Century Media Alliance, specifically that NBA lottery pick.com, tipping me to this. Ken Burrell Tompkins, a great sleeper wide receiver candidate for the Patriots. He looks like he's going to be the starter opposite Amendola there. Ken Burrell Tompkins.
Okay, there we go. Okay. My point is this, and this kind of ties in what you just said. I don't think that matters. When you look at the Patriots, and we'll talk about the rest of the AFC East later on, there's just still too big of a gap. I know that a lot of people want to buy into Miami.
Sure.
You know, everyone's going to write off the Jets and the Bills are the Bills. That even if the Patriots slip a bit, and they won 12 games last year, I don't think they're going to equal that this year.
Right.
They would have to fall, you know, even – is there any other team in the AFC East capable of going 10-6? I don't think
so.
So New England, to me, I've got them 11-5. I want to bring up a theory here. Or not a theory.
I agree with the number.
It's sort of a stat that As far as NFL win totals go, their win total, I believe, is 11.5, Ricky, if you could double-check that for me. I think it's 11.5.
It's 11.
It's 11, even.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, check this out. In the last 11 years, you've had 55 teams with preseason win totals of 10 or higher. They've only gone over 40% of the time.
Okay.
And if you take out the Peyton Manning Indianapolis Colts, that drops to 37%.
Okay.
So I'm going to have them right at 11. They're not going to go over.
Yep.
I think they're going to contend for a bye. Obviously, they'll be in the mix for a first-round bye, New England. It's interesting. We talked about this a lot, I remember, in the last time we talked about the Patriots in the mini-episode, the number 252. They're hanging their hat, and a lot of their supporters in the media are hanging their hat a lot on these Super Bowls, which have wins that are getting further and further in the past.
Right.
Since that time, I mean, the last couple – since they lost to the Giants – the first time they lost to the Giants in the Super Bowl. This is a team who has hardly any big playoff wins.
Right.
They beat the infamous Tim Tebow Broncos.
Yeah.
They beat the Ravens the following week in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Which was a game they probably deserved to lose. They were outplayed.
Right.
And then they lost to the Ravens. And then they beat a Houston Texans team, still cutting its teeth in big game situations. A team that they had embarrassed earlier in the year and this was last year, obviously.
Well, not only that, a team that's not going to be as able to play on the road in January.
Yeah. So New England is going to do what New England has done the last several years.
Right.
They're going to get in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to win the AFC.
Me neither.
Now, I'm not really happy with my team I'm going to pick to win the AFC eventually, but I think that their ceiling is probably the conference championship.
I
mean, they'll win a playoff. They'd win there even if they didn't get a bye. They'll beat probably a pretty weak wild card team in that first game, and then they'll lose.
Right.
You know.
I got them going over to Steelers.
Okay.
They own the Steelers.
Yeah.
In the
so that's my thing with the Patriots. I've got them at 11 wins, winning the division. Moving to Houston. I want to go to Houston.
Okay.
Next. This is a bad division this year.
It's
funny that, you know, they've won it 2 years in a row. And last year was the most successful year in their franchise's history.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely felt like a disappointment, didn't it? The
it
way
did.
They played down the stretch.
Yeah.
They seemed to have that inside track for the top seed, which, as you just spoke, they needed more than New England or Denver.
And they didn't even get a bye by the time
No, they
it was
didn't.
All said
and,
done.
And it cost them because they had to go to New England in the second round.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they played okay, but no one bought them as having a chance. And
right.
They were really never in that game. This, to me, I'm a lot cooler on Houston than I know you and I both were at this time last year. You and I were both thinking, hey, this is a team that can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. They're built well, and I hate to dump on this team again a whole conference early. They're sort of like the Atlanta of the AFC in that they have no glaring weaknesses. They're built to succeed in the regular season, but you just get the impression they're never going to break through. I mean, don't you? I mean,
they
I know
more impact players defensively than the Falcons do.
Oh,
though.
For sure. But I mean,
you know, J.J. Watt, Brent Cushing.
Yeah, but I don't think they're as good offensively as Atlanta. On the same token, I mean, the difference may not be as big as them
Arian
in Atlanta.
Foster
defense.
And Andre Johnson said hi.
Andre Johnson seems. I don't know. I think a lot. Some of these younger receivers have passed him up in the pecking order of wide receivers.
And it's you're probably one of the masses out there that are crapping on Matt Schaub. Again, he's not at the level of Flacco.
No, he's not. And you know what? Here's the thing. And I'll talk more about this when we get to Andy Dalton.
Okay.
With all those young guys that came in the league, too, a lot of these guys in that Matt Schaub tier are kind of being quietly pushed down. Like, Flacco, that was he needed to step up last year. He really separated himself from the Schaubs and the Cutlers.
Matt Ryan had his best year. Matt Ryan, you know, stepped up from
that. Even Matt Ryan's ahead of Matt Schaub. You know
he
what I'm
is,
saying? I mean,
yeah.
Matt Schaub is fine. I mean, you could do a lot worse.
Here's my
at
thing,
quarterback
like,
the matchup. But I think Houston, look, there's two terrible teams in this division, Tennessee and Jacksonville. And
right.
Indianapolis, we'll get to this, obviously. They're a major – they certainly seem to be the prime candidate of regression analysts to fall back to the pack
but
this
the,
year.
The thing about being an elite quarterback just to get to the Super Bowl – see, here's the thing, though. I go back to the last time the AFC was this bad and some of the quarterbacks in there. You mean to tell me Matt Schaub couldn't be Stan Humphries or he couldn't be Neil O'Donnell? When a conference is down.
I don't think the AFC's that weak, though. I mean, it doesn't have the depth, but here's the thing. And ultimately, this is, again, with Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati and Houston, it's funny. New England and Denver nationally will be the two top picks.
Yeah.
I think if you polled everyone who would do something like this, a podcast. Right. They would say the highest percentage, the two teams that would get the highest percentage, if you ask the question, what two teams are going to get the buys in the AFC playoffs, the first round buys, the highest responses would be Denver, New England.
Yeah. Well, they did last year.
They did last year, and they have Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. And with Cincinnati and Houston, you're looking at Andy Dalton and Matt Schaub. And that ultimately, I mean, look, it's not as simple as just picking the team with the best quarterback. I agree. But with Houston, you just get, I just feel that you got their best last year, and their best just isn't good enough.
Cincinnati and Houston are sort of like mirror images, aren't
they? Well, and what's funny is this. Houston's
like, they're which one's going to step up, or is neither of them?
Exactly. And what's interesting is Houston's beaten Cincinnati in the playoffs the last 2 years.
Yes, they owned them, yeah.
But I think this year, Cincinnati's much better, actually. I feel that we haven't really said anything earth-shattering so far in this podcast, so let's do it.
All right.
By the way, Houston, 10-6.
I'm saying 12-4, they're going to get a bye.
Okay, I do not. I think they are the fourth of the four. I think they'll be the fourth seed.
Even in that division. Wow.
Just because you're in a bad division, look, they could conceivably go 6-0 in the division.
They're still a very good team. As you said, no real weaknesses.
No real breakthrough strength. I think that they're going to kind of – remember, 2 years ago, everyone wanted to hand them the division, and they kind of, you know – granted, there were a lot of injuries. They were down to T.J. Yates by the end of the season, for crying out loud. But here's another thing, too. Remember what I just told you about the win totals?
Yeah.
I mean, what's their win total is, what, 10.5, I think, Houston this year?
I think so.
So you don't want to be going over those too much. I'm going to be a slave to the statistics here, and I'm going to go with 10 wins. It's 10.
Okay.
And by the way, the juice is heavy on the under there, so the bettors are agreeing with me.
Wow.
Just, look, they can – winning a bad division at 10-6, I mean, that just seems like Houston to me. But let's go to Cincinnati.
Yeah. Simon,
let's say something interesting here.
Okay.
Let's go off the rail. Let's not say something status quo. I am really tempted. I've gone back and forth the last couple weeks in preparation for this podcast with this, and I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on a – I think Cincinnati may end up with home field advantage in the AFC. I think they have surpassed Houston. I think their defense is a little bit better. Their front seven is phenomenal. They've got – I think A.J. Green's better than Andre Johnson at this point. Dalton and Schaub is kind of a wash. I don't – but here's the thing. They have – and again, this is kind of splitting hairs and this is numbers. Their win total's a little lower, so they don't fall into that 10 or above thing. And that's what I think.
What, 8.5?
I love the over. I love that. That's my first projected win total.
I got them at 11.
Yeah, I remember last year New Orleans was our big one that we agreed on. Sounds like we're in big agreement on Cincinnati over 8.5. I have them at 11, too. I think that it's funny, you know, they're going to need – here's the thing. Houston can afford to take some games off. Well,
right.
I mean, if they're fighting for a bye, they won't, but – it's going to be easy for them to win the division, I think, going in. I think they could sleepwalk. Cincinnati can't have that luxury.
No.
Even with Pittsburgh and Baltimore not maybe what they once were a couple
those
years ago.
Those games will be wars between those three teams, that round robin. But I'm going to ask you to consider, though, Kyle Ross, the difference between the Bengals' divisional schedule and the Broncos' divisional schedule. The number one reason that I have the Broncos at 13 wins and getting the home field advantage through the AFC playoffs. The AFC West is absolutely putrid once again.
Well, I'm a little higher on Kansas City than I think you are. But with Cincinnati, look, it's all about Dalton. Cincinnati here, I want to look at something. I'm going to tell you about Cincinnati. They didn't have a bad loss last year. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold the phone here. You're
looking at that, I'm going to say this, and this is going to sound maybe more controversial than it is because it's a big if. But if Dalton can step up, they're potentially a Super Bowl team.
Yeah,
I agree. One
that
thing.
Their weakest spot is quarterback. They're loaded everywhere else.
Yeah.
And do you know, here's another thing, too, that you got to like about Cincinnati. I think we mentioned this in the mini episode, what was it, number 253?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting if we did say this or not. Teams are still hiring then, so we may not have. I think we may have said, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't lose either coordinator.
Right.
So that's huge.
Yeah.
Jay Gruden is obviously kind of – his career has kind of been fast-tracked because of the last name. But he's done a good job.
He's had a lot of success, though, both in the Arena League and as a coordinator at the NFL level.
And Mike Zimmer is as good as it gets defensively.
He is,
And I was shocked he wasn't hired away.
That's a great point.
Marvin Lewis, who I don't love, you know, he's not – I mean, his Bengals teams have been – at worst, mediocre. They had that real bad year with Ocho Cinco and T.O., that disaster. But other than that, they usually were finishing around 500 for most of these years. And give Mike Brown some credit. Mm-hmm. It seems that he's put a little bit more money into resources.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think this team is ready to take the next leap. ultimately, I think Dalton will end up costing them the playoffs. Just because I think they have home field advantage in the AFC doesn't mean I think they're going to go to the Super Bowl, because I don't. But I think they're – every year, you know, kind of like there's a team – there's always been that storyline the last couple years, it seems, where a team sort of comes out – because I think nationally, not a lot of people are as high on Cincinnati as you and I are. And there's always that team that jumps out to that great record. It was Atlanta last year, and there's that hackneyed story. Do you believe in them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Houston and Atlanta for part of last year. And I think Cincinnati can be that team this year. Now, I wanted to just show you here. Okay. Cincinnati last year, they got hammered in week one on Monday Night Football by Baltimore, 44-13. Flacco played his best game of the regular season that night. He was the Flacco that we saw in the playoffs, quite frankly, that night.
Right.
After that, they did lose by 4 to a pedestrian Miami team and 10 at Cleveland. But that game got away, you know, living in Cleveland, I remember watching that game. That game got away from them late. They were actually leading, I believe, going into the fourth quarter. Other than that, they lost by 7 to Pittsburgh, 8 to Denver, and by 1 to Dallas. This team didn't get blown. I mean, this team got blown out once last year. So, you know, and then they, you know, they kind of, that was a real boring playoff game. They lost at Houston 19-13 in the wild second straight
year.
Does
that mean that they're ready to regress a little bit, though?
No, well, let's take, I mean, their record in close, you know, as you know, I'm paying attention to record in close games this year. Let's take a look here. They were 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 3-3, and they were 5-4 in close games.
I was really resisting the urge to be a dick and start counting out loud while you were doing that.
I wouldn't have liked that. But they were 5-4, which, okay, says that. But here's the thing. Their wins were usually, I mean, they say the sign of a good team is when you beat up a crappy team.
Yes.
And then you lose. I mean, they had a lot. I mean, they played Kansas City. They crushed them. They crushed Oakland. Philadelphia was bad. They beat the heck out of them. Jacksonville, they beat the heck out of them. So I just think that this team, regular season-wise, is ready to take the step. I got them 11-5, like you do. And I think there's a chance. That's the same record as New England, keep in mind.
Yes.
There's a chance that they could end up with home field advantage in the AFC. I'm tempted to say they do.
I think that they do. I don't think they'll get it. I don't even think they're going to get a bye. I got them at 11-5, Houston 12-4, New England 11-5, and Denver 13-3, the one of the big four that we haven't talked about yet.
Sure. And I just want to say, Cincinnati, their goal this year is very clearly win a playoff game. I think their ceiling is losing at home in the AFC Championship, which is what I have them doing.
Yes, and I think, again, we can both agree on this, because I have them playing in the wild card round, but I have them winning there. You and I have them at least making it to the second round.
Yeah, and I think they can get to, I think they could be at, they can host the AFC Championship game, and they would lose that to the team that you have with the best record during the season, and I don't like this pick, but it's just so safe this time of year. Look for me to change it midseason.
Okay.
But I think Denver, it's hard not to make them the favorite in the AFC.
Everybody's picking them.
Yeah.
Nobody's picking Houston. I'm going with Houston.
You love this Houston, don't you? You still on that bandwagon?
Kyle Ross, I have Houston going into Mile High and winning the AFC Championship.
Okay, so I'm a little higher in Cincinnati. You're a little higher in Houston than it seems. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's talk about Denver, because this was a fine team. They went for a mild understatement with an upgraded quarterback from Tim Tebow to Peyton Manning, and they jumped from 8 to 13 wins. When you have a jump in wins like that, here's one thing about Denver. I know that you think the AFC West is putrid, and it's tough to disagree. I don't think there's any way they match last year's 13 wins. I think everything went well for them last year.
Not least of which the schedule.
Yes, they didn't beat any good – did they beat – hold on here. Let's take a look at this here. I mean, if you have a comment you'd like to make on Denver right now, I'd love to hear it while I look
up. I'm just going
to
say, I mean, they have, you know, outside of, you know, Elvis Dumervil, they have just about all of the same parts.
Von Miller
came
down today. He's possibly suspended. No, six now.
This just in. Okay.
Yeah, and their defense, that was just announced a little bit ago.
Okay.
And, you know, we're doing this on August 19th, and it just happened.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. But with... they're going to be minus him. And I think we talked about this last year a little bit. I think their defense has been a little overrated the last 2 years. It got a lot of credit in the Tebow year because they had to win a lot of those games ugly. And you even said it. They were opportunistic.
They were.
They made the stops when they needed to. And last year
they were like better though. I didn't think they were.
Yeah, well, you know why though?
They were better.
You know why though? They were playing a lot of bad teams, especially
okay.
the bad offenses in that division.
Okay.
And they could have. When you're a defense and you're always leading, you can afford to take some chances.
Okay.
I think that defense will not be as good as they were last year. And also, offensive line, they lost their center for the
right.
year already. So, and am I the only one who still wants to question Peyton Manning's health, or are we over that?
Well,
last year at this time, when everyone was talking, they're like, "Oh God, if
I was
Peyton
an
Manning,
skeptic at
yeah,
this point."
Yeah, everyone last year was saying, "Oh God, if Peyton Manning takes the wrong hit, he's going to be, you know, they're going to be feeding him his lunch through a straw." The rest
yeah.
of like, now he's okay. Now his neck is fine.
I was having him fitted for a scooter and a drool cup, and I feel like again, he proved me wrong.
Yeah,
I guess.
But I mean, is his neck fine now? And the guy, I mean, did he not have the four surgeries on his neck anymore?
Did he not take any hits last year? Again, I just. Very rarely will you hear me say, no, I was completely wrong. But that's what I'm saying. I was wrong.
Here were Denver's last – all right, they won their last – they started 3-3, and they won their last 10 games. Here are their last 8 wins. Carolina, San Diego, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Oakland, Baltimore, who did win the Super Bowl and got revenge on them,
yeah.
By the way, in Mile High, Cleveland, Kansas City. I think Denver, again, let's go back. If it's a win total of 10 or higher, go under.
Yeah.
They're at 11.5, which I believe ranks right among the highest in the league. I'm going 11 wins for Denver. I think they will – there is – I'm – book it, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
They will not match last year's 13-win total. Everything went right for them down the stretch. And, again, am I looking too much into things with Peyton Manning? I remember a few years ago Brett Favre switched colors and had this miracle – comeback season with a new team.
Yeah.
It ended when he threw a terrible interception across his body to the other team.
Wow.
Peyton Manning, didn't he do that?
He did.
Now that being said, the addition of Will Smoker, I still think it's really hard not to pick this team to win the AFC, but it's just because I can't buy in Cincinnati yet to go to the Super Bowl. New England kind of gags in the playoffs, and I'm just not sold on Houston. So it's almost by default I'll take Denver to win the AFC, but...
And I'm kind of taking Houston by default for the same reasons.
Okay.
Don't
be surprised if I come playoff time, mm-hmm. I switch on Denver. If I see something else, if
okay.
maybe there's a surprise team that we haven't talked about yet. I'm looking. That's why I wanted to do the middle last.
Yeah.
I wanted maybe you to talk me into a team.
It's like, the middle's the most interesting
yeah.
in the AFC, certainly. But as far as it goes with Denver, in looking at this, and there's another thing, too, I had this feeling about them going into the playoffs, and I don't exactly remember who I had coming. I think I was staying with Houston just out of stubbornness. But anyways, I'm not going to say I was shocked that Denver lost to Baltimore.
You and I went on there and said there's no way they lose to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Remember, we were like most people and say book the Denver New England AFC Championship.
We didn't see that landmine, but I will say this. I had an uneasy feeling about them coming into the playoffs. I don't know if this means anything or not, but this is just, maybe this is just a residual of all my years of playing fantasy sports. I'm
yes.
terrified going into the playoffs if I've won like 10 in a row.
Because
you're going to
have
your
a bad week. You're going to
yeah,
have a bad
they
week.
They won the last 10, Kyle, and it was just like, okay, do you realize you now have to win 13 games in a row to win the Super Bowl? That is – the odds against that are pretty steep.
Yeah, I mean, look, bad division and Peyton Manning
yeah.
mean – that I mean, look, I mean, the Tim Tebow Broncos obviously way outperformed their, you know, their Pythagorean win total, if you know
yes.
that stuff, by a lot. But the switch at quarterback kind of nullified any likely regression when
right.
he went to Manning last year. And Manning's going to keep them at a certain level. It's
right.
like New England. There's just a canyon between them and the rest of the division. But, you know, it's funny. I always do this. I always say, yeah, okay, I guess that this team does deserve to be the favorite to win the conference. But then I nitpick them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I feel with Denver. Look, Welker will probably be a great addition to a receiving core that was already pretty strong, but the injuries on the offensive line and you know, some of the loss of defensive personnel, which I thought was an overrated unit the last 2 years, I just think there's no way they match last year's 13-win total.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting thought. I got them at 13, but, I mean, I could see that as well. Again, I have them at 13 largely because I think the rest of the division is so pathetic. And that really kind of plays in. So we've talked about the four best teams. I don't think have much to say about the four worst, other than that they pretty much suck going division by division. You start in the East with the Jets. Again, a transition year at best. One of the things that a couple of the bad teams have in common is And I think this will prove to be the case with Tennessee as well, where Mike Munchak inexplicably survived. I think we can say Rex Ryan, Mike Munchak, Dennis Allen will all be gone after this
yes.
year. Ownership flinched in every case. When ownership flinches and gives a coach one more year, the coach never makes it past that year, and the team at some point quits on them. Three of the four teams we're talking about here among the worst have that in common.
Yeah, I actually think that those will be the teams picking 1, 2, 3 next April. The
okay.
three you just mentioned, Oakland, Tennessee, the Jets. With the Jets, look, I was tempted to pick the Jets to win a few more games. I think when we talk about these teams, the only difference you and I will have mm-hmm. is I'm going to pick them to win a couple more games, maybe just ugly games. You know, I know every year there is that 2-14, 3-13 team, and there will, you know, it'll, if it's going to be somebody, it's probably going to be one of these teams, Oakland probably. But I'm going to go 5-11 for the
okay.
Jets. I think they might win a few more than you think, just because everyone's so down on them.
Okay.
But here's the problem, and you kind of already alluded to it with the coaching. Rex Ryan is obviously coaching to save his job, and for better or for worse, it's going to end up being for worse.
And the first
he's
round
married,
pick was for the future.
He's married to Mark Sanchez.
Yes.
And he is going to try to stick with Sanchez as long as he can.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be – I think they're going to get off to a terrible – I'd love to see who the Jets start off the season
with. And the front
office
– I can pull this up. The front office is going to want to see Geno Smith in there. Because
yes, and eventually he will be their starter next year in week one, Geno Smith, with a new coach. And spoiler alert, I talked about looking ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I think whoever coaches this team next year is not going to be walking into a bear cupboard. The defense is going to be great. Rex Ryan can coach defense, and I still think the Jets have a good defense despite the loss of Revis. They drafted the kid from Alabama. He's not going to be as good as Revis initially, but he
right.
can fill in.
I was the
D. Milner,
taking
D.
Milner.
D. Milner.
Yeah.
And Wilkerson is great.
Right.
For the and it's just the offense stinks, and it's going to stink with Sanchez. I mean, the butt fumble wasn't the worst play in NFL history, but it's just something that's going to stain Sanchez. His confidence is racked. He makes too many bad – he's a
right.
worse Tony Romo.
Right.
Really. So, yeah, the Jets will be bad, and Ryan's going to get fired.
Yeah, and that's they start off – it's a home game, but they start off with Tampa Bay.
Remember they played their best game of the year in week one last year against Buffalo?
Yeah.
The Jets arguably – Sanchez threw, like, four touchdowns. They scored, like, 48 points
yeah.
inexplicably. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jets win there, but they'll get killed by the Patriots.
Buffalo sucks also. So.
I think I'm a little higher on Buffalo, I bet, than you. Tennessee's kind of
Tennessee
okay.
sucks.
All right.
The schedule gets – oh, boy. There's a stretcher
yeah,
on
Atlanta,
mid-season.
Pittsburgh, New England, Cincinnati, New Orleans, yeah. And then
they'll get swept.
At Buffalo, that's when it's going to go bad. And Ryan, you know.
It'll be like 2-2. This could be our year. We could make a run. Splat.
Yeah. Do you agree with me, though, that Geno Smith is the starter in week one of 2014
sure.
for a new coach?
Sure.
Okay.
I agree completely, and that's the whole thing here. In going back to a very, very recent mini-episode here on the show, to reference the great show Breaking Bad, Mike the Cleaner, no half measures. Here's the thing. It's half measures with every one of these teams. We'll give you one more year. And in the case of the Jets, you bring in a new GM who's going to want to hire his own guy.
This
new
GM seems kind of sharp, too,
He's off the Seahawks tree,
yeah.
so they know what they're doing over there. But again, Geno Smith, a guy who is not going to be is not drafted to help a coach needing to win now. That's the whole thing here too. They flinched on firing Rex Ryan, and then Oakland and Tennessee flinched on firing their coaches.
I don't
as
think
well.
Ryan is as disastrous as last season felt. I mean, it's hard to remember this team actually. I mean,